this week of Advent, we consider John
the Baptist. Although notice, in John's Gospel, he's just called John. I'm not sure there's any significance to that, just find it interesting. You know, we often, and there was a trend a few years back of these bracelets, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I think lots of times we think about, we have to somehow emulate Jesus. But you know, that sets the bar so high. We're never going to be able to match Jesus because we are not divine. In fact, I'm not sure many of us can even be as fully human as Jesus was. But John the Baptist, now there's someone that perhaps we can emulate. So John is preaching and baptizing there in Bethany. And I like the fact that our passage this morning doesn't focus on John's eccentricities. You know, there's no mention of the camel hair suit and the locusts and honey and all of that kind of bizarre stuff. There's not even much hellfire and brimstone in today's passage from John. But today's passage is about who is John and what is his mission. And so the religious leaders come to John and say, "Who are you? We need some answers." These people and their answers, right, Duke? Yeah. When you know, you don't know. They want answers. Who is this guy? It's the same question they will ask Jesus many times as well. But notice what John says initially. He begins by telling them who he isn't and what he isn't. "I am not the Messiah," John says. "Well, are you Elijah?" "Nope." "Are you even a prophet?" "No." Maybe one of the lessons of John the Baptist is for those of us who are often trying to be or expected to be all things to all people. John knows who he is and John knows who he isn't. John says, "You know, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the light. I'm not the one you've been waiting for. But I am here to testify to that person who is coming." John is sort of the moon to God's sun, reflecting the light. Here's who I'm not. I'm not the Messiah, not Elijah, not even a prophet. "Well, then who are you?" they want to know. "Well, if you must know, I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness, testifying to the one who is coming, the one whose sandal I'm not even worthy to untie, the one who you are waiting for. I'm testifying to who he is and what he will bring and preach and be." I think maybe that's what we are called to do. Not just in Advent, the season of Advent, but all the time. To be reflections of the one who is coming. To be voices in the wilderness. And who would deny that we live in pretty much a wilderness? Especially when it comes to the virtues and values of Christ and of God's kingdom, love and peace and hope and joy and unity. The world's pretty much a wilderness in that regard, isn't it? Often preaching the very opposite of those things. You know, get your own, just do it, stick up for yourself, point out the foibles of others. It's a wilderness that we live in many ways. But John reminds us of our call to be voices in that wilderness, voices of love and joy and hope and peace and light and unity. Now, if that sounds kind of abstract, being a voice in the wilderness, this is where I think Paul comes in. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, starts laying out a list, as Paul is so good at doing, of some very specific ways that we can be voices of light and reason and love in a wilderness. So what does Paul say? What are we specifically to do? Notice he says, rejoice always. Rejoice. Be joyful. Be thankful. Recognize your blessings. Don't focus on the negative, what you don't have or what you aren't. Focus on what God has given you and is doing. Rejoice always. Be a voice of joy in a wilderness of negativity. Pray continually. Now remember, prayer is not just talking. Prayer is not just us talking to God. Prayer at its heart is really our acknowledging our relationship with God and keeping that in mind and keeping that connection open. So when Paul says pray continually, he's really saying know all the time that you are connected with God, that you have a higher purpose. It's not all just about you. Keep that line of communication open all the time. Be a person of prayer in a world and a wilderness of selfishness and arrogance. Don't suppress the Spirit, Paul says. And keep watching for Spirit-enhanced messages in the world. Don't suppress the Spirit, but this is a great Advent message. Be alert. Be attentive to how the Spirit is working in your life, in our world. You may not hear about it on the news, but if you're attentive, you will see and hear and know the Spirit is at work. And also part of this may be listening and being quiet once in a while. You know, it's tough to hear the voice of the Spirit if we're always talking. It's tough to see the Spirit if our eyes are always glued to screens. So be Spirit-filled in a wilderness of noise and distraction. And then Paul says, hold on to what is good. Hold on to it and avoid all kinds of evil. Hold on to the good. Hold on to love, peace, hope, unity, joy. Hold on to the good things. Keep that as your focus. So be a voice and a person of goodness in a wilderness of discord and disharmony and violence and hatred and division. I believe we are called to be, maybe more so than ever, voices in the wilderness. Voicing and proclaiming, and not just with words, all that this Savior who is coming and has come before and will come again is bringing with Him. And to do so knowing we are not the Savior. You and I are not going to save the world by ourselves. That's the task of the Messiah. But you and I are called to be voices testifying to that Messiah who has come and will come again and to the values of God's kingdom. And maybe lastly, to remember the humility of John as well. Remember John who says, I'm not that. But here's what I am in a small way, a voice, maybe a still small voice even, but a voice in the wilderness. So keeping all that in mind in this season of Advent that we are well into, I would invite you to consider how you can be a voice in the wilderness. And know that that does not involve self-righteous sermonizing, but humble, often quiet action, keeping as our example a man named John. Amen.